Hey guys, it's Steve here. Just wanted to let you know before we start the show that the Draft Doctors website is finally up and operational. On there, we've got a lot of some articles to kick it off. We're doing some team profiles. We'll be dropping each of them all the way through to the JLT series, and then we'll have a number of weekly articles coming out. So it's the draftdoctors.com.au. That's where to find us. Just type us into Google or whatever. The draftdoctors.com.au. We're going to have our rankings up there soon. You can submit a question on the show. We've got links to all the audio destinations. So we'd love for you to check it out and have a look. There's already a few articles up there. So certainly jump on thedraftdoctors.com.au. All right, let's get into the show.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors, John Crockett here. Today we are talking top 40 midfield rankings, and to help me do that, welcome to you, Statesman.
G'day gentlemen, and what a wonderful weekend. Great crowds, in fact overwhelming crowds at the AFLW launch, and the players' passion and joy was infectious. And the girls play the game hard, which certainly us that are in the know was certainly quite aware, and everyone's seen that now, which is fantastic. We do need to be reminded that they're not professional athletes yet. They're only trained 9 hours a week and had a pre-season effectively for 10 weeks. So the standard will quickly improve, but I was pretty impressed with what I saw and enjoyed it immensely. And I think three of the top four teams, one being Carlton, Western Bulldogs and Brisbane, and I think Carlton actually probably a little bit better than I first thought they would be, so they might sneak into my a little bit higher in my top four. But Frio lost their game a fair bit to Western Bulldogs, but Western Bulldogs I think have got the best list, and Frio had to travel side to side. They've never done that before, so that would have impacted them a little bit. So we'll see how they go against Brisbane this week. But my top four tips are Western Bulldogs, Frio, Brisbane and Carlton.
And some of those women tackled harder than the men, some of the men. And welcome to you, Steve.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting weekend. I finally got the Bible. My AFL prospectus finally rocked up, listeners.
Whereas people have been buying them in the news agencies for the last week and a half.
Yeah, no, really, really pleased. I spent the extra $10 on postage and waited longer than other people who got it. That was really money well spent. Classic Fizz investment.
So is there anything, any hot takes for any of the rankings coming out of the prospectus this year?
Yeah, well, I wanted to bring up the rank, some of the rankings they had for their Dream Team draft list, Jono, because we're all, well, we know both of you, quite frankly, are just blatant ageists.
No, yep. never.
And the prospectus has just thrown out their Dream Team list. They've got Lee Montagna in at number 4 for your draft.
This for overall?
It's for overall.
Okay.
Lee Montagna at 4. Nick Riewoldt at 6. Cade Simpson at 7. Heath Shaw at 8. Matty Boyd at 9. Old mate Rory Laird, not even in the top 30.
Not even in the top 30. Wow. Someone's smoking some weird stuff that day.
Well, they obviously don't feel as they're such risks as you guys do.
No. But I think what they were probably working on was just the raw data. So what the figures do, and don't discount the age like I do when we're talking keeper. So if you looked at Montagna's last 3 years and then say he's a defender, of course he's right up there. So it'll be just based on raw data, no doubt.
Like when we look at Statesman's keeper rankings, the raw data just makes you scratch your head.
Going to be some conjecture there this week, I think.
I just wanted to give you a quick who am I, though.
Okay.
Guys, there's a few hints here because we know the prospectus breaks players down into elite, above average, average, poor, and Jesse Hogan. Okay. So, bit of a who am I? I'm a forward for a Victorian club. I'm rated as elite along with 4 other teammates. I played 18 games last year. My highest averages are 73 Dream Team and 82 Super Coach. Do we want to have a guess, anyone yet?
Jack Watts?
Not Jack Watts.
Okay. Jess Hogan.
Not Jesse Hogan. This one might help you out. I'm 25 years old currently, but I've only played 41 games, yet I'm elite.
Levi Caswell.
Not Levi Cowper.
So Victorian club forward, only averaged highest in the 70s. 24, did you say?
25 and only played 41. 25 and only played 41 games.
And rated elite.
Rated elite.
Jake Stringer.
He wears the number 10.
Wow.
This club played finals last year.
Daniel Menzel.
Ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
Elite.
Elite.
Wow.
That's an interesting one right there. Prospectus?
I wouldn't have picked that. But there you go. No. Strange. They have some different thoughts to us, but they have all the data.
They do. And if you'd like to follow us on social media where you can check out what the links to the website will be, you can do that at The Draft Doctors or follow Statesman33 or head over to Facebook where you can just search The Draft Doctors or just send us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But today we are talking top 40 midfielder rankings, and just to let the listeners know, this is pure mids only. If we're talking DPPs, then we're generally going to draft them in their other position, whether it's forward or defender or even a ruck if you're Mark Blixoves. But to kick us off is Steve with our Dream Team rankings.
Yeah, thanks, John. Big lists today. We're just going to power through them, so... Mm-hmm. Number one, I've got Tom Rockliffe, people. Number two, Patrick Dangerfield. Number three, Adam Treloar. Number four, Dan Hannabury. Number five, I've got Josh P. Kennedy. Number six, Scott Pendlebury. Number seven, Lachie Neal. Number eight, Luke Parker. Number nine, Tom Mitchell. Number 10, Zach Merritt. So that's the top 10. Just wanted to stop there. It's obviously a big list. And people who have been listening to our show for a while, they might have listened to our top 30
overalls.
Dream Team overalls. And so I notice I've moved some players up and I'll have moved some players down as we get on. And that's what the preseason happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I had Zach Merritt quite low. I've been buoyed by some of the numbers we've been seeing, some of the reports we've been getting from Essendon. And also stuff from other analysts.
Yeah.
Including maybe the Statesman. He's been in my ear a little bit too much and it's
finally gotten to you?
Sickening me, quite frankly. Not talking me into Lachie Neal too much, though. Anyway, we'll continue. Number 11, got Rory Sloane. Number 12, Marcus Bontempelli. A bit of a conjecture there, I suppose. Number 13, Jack Stephen. Number 14, Steve Coniglio. Number 15, Joel Selwood. Number 16, Dustin Martin. Number 17, Matt Prittis. Number 18, Michael Barlow, who could go up or down depending on the preseason. I'm hearing some strange things. Number 19, Gary Ablett. Number 20, Bryce Gibbs. Number 21, Steele Sidebottom. Number 22, Ollie Wines. 23, one of the guys I'm really keen on this year, Matt Crouch.
Mm.
Number 24, Jordan Lewis. Okay, so probably a bit lower than a lot of people would have had. 25, Seb Ross. 26, Nat Five. 27, Jack Viney. 28, Dane Beams. 29, Lachie Hunter. 30, Dyson Heppel. 31, Mitch Duncan. 32, Andrew Gaff. 33, Luke Shuey. 34, Trent Cotchin. 35, Dion Prestia. 36, Callan Ward. 37, Brendan Goddard. 38, Brent Stanton.
Had to fit him in, didn't you?
Our old mate Stanton. There's actually, man, I'll tell you what, some of the apologies I was really keen on getting in. Number 39, Nathan Jones. And number 40... the old man himself, moved out west, Sam Mitchell. I don't think he's going to play every game, but I certainly think he's going to be good enough to be the 40th.
M4.
Well, even an M5. Okay, it's obviously pretty hard to keep up with all these rankings. Hopefully when the website's up, or should be up, we will have these rankings
on the
website so you can go through them and have a look. Some of the apologies, gentlemen. Aaron Hall. What the hell?
Yeah.
Average 105 last year. Started the year like a house on fire.
Ended the house like a house on fire.
That's the thing. End of the year. They brought in a glut of midfielders. I find myself not trusting it, but I get the feeling by the end of the year, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to have egg on my face for not being a little bit higher on Aaron Hall.
I think that's a consensus with a lot of people, because I know I'm one of them.
Yeah, I think he might slip in drafts, but we'll see. Another guy I kind of like is Brad Ebert. Only averaged 84 last year, but the three seasons before it, 22 games, 98, 99 sort of average. I mean, he could be a smashing value in drafts. Ed Kerno averaged 102 last year, maybe with the change of coach, he's been freed up. Or Liam Shields, 83 average last year, I think with the departures of the Hawthorn midfield. He's certainly a tackling machine. We know he's averaged over 100 before. And Dane Zorko, probably a real shock with the 106 average last year. But I just think with the guys coming back into that team, his scores are just going to take a hit back to where his 98 average is. So come on, boys. Let me hear the problems. Where have I screwed up?
Lucky Hunter for me, really down low. He was a top 15-20 scorer for Dream Team last year. I'm just surprised why you've got him so low.
Yeah, he came in with the 18 average. Oh, the finished 18th for average.
18th, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, Lockie Hunter's really unfairly rated. We're talking about a young player who
played his first full season last year.
Yeah, appears to be on the rise. I just really struggle rating this Bulldogs team, Jono.
Yep.
I mean, aside from Bont, they've got all these young half forward runners, and they're all fantastic. This is the first time Lockie Hunter's put it together. My question is, can he do it again? We haven't seen. Oh, he can shoot up the lists in the JLT.
Yep.
Like we say, the lists are fluid. This isn't locked in. I'm just having a real hard time breaking the Bulldogs down. I find them the hardest team to rate. Yes, mate.
Well, I think Lockie Hunter, to be fair to him, he was only 20 last year, so we can't expect him to have done it, you know, for 3 or 4 years prior to that. So I think he's just shown us what he can do. You're right, it's very hard to try and work out exactly how the Bulldogs are going to manage so many talented players, but I think he's one, and I think Jack McRae's the other, that are going to be constantly part of that midfield rotation. And both of them might be more on the wing than they will be right in the middle of the guts. But I think Lockie Hunter should be a little bit higher than what he was.
Oh, look, Lockie Hunter, if he averaged 110, I wouldn't be shocked.
Mm. And that's why I see Hunter and McRae, they're just going to own a wing each this year. And as we know, they're both outside players.
Well, I understand that. He's a volume machine. But
yeah,
it also wouldn't surprise me if he went 6 points the other way. And just if I don't trust it, then I can't...
Mm.
rate it highly. So that's why he slots in at 29 there.
Hey, it's still great value if you do get him down there.
Oh, yes, mate. He'd be pretty happy.
And I don't know whether I should be challenging you or you want to be challenging me, but obviously I have an issue with Lachie Neale being so low. You know I'm pretty hot on him. But I'm just interested to see why that he isn't in that top 3 or 4.
As opposed to Rockliffe, Danger and Treloar.
I think Lachie Neale is in, and we talked about this before when we talked about the overall rankings, I think he's in that big new four.
Yeah, I understand that. Delayed preseason doesn't inspire me, quite frankly.
Okay, I think that's only going to affect him for 2 or 3 weeks. It's a salary cap point, not so much a league point, a draft point.
Oh, well, if someone else drafts him at 3 and he starts off slow,
trade bait.
There's as much risk to Rockliffe getting injured rather than Lockie Neale, who played through injuries last year, to be too affected by, you know, a bit of a slow start.
Well, Rockliffe has averaged 130. It's just a smaller sample size.
Yeah. Don't forget, but Rockliffe's only played 33 games in the last 2 years.
Well, we all know what he can do, though.
Very true.
And don't forget, we saw Treloar coming off that interrupted preseason, and look what he did.
Look, he's ranked at 7. I mean, it's not...
Mm.
It's not... amazingly unfair. Fife's back. You know, I know we can say that doesn't matter.
Yep,
maybe it does.
It doesn't matter.
There you go.
Mm. And you had Mitch Duncan there. Is that 31, is it?
Yeah, Mitch Duncan at 31 I think is a really nice pick. I think he's a bit of a dream team. Well, he's a ball-winning player. Played the 22 games at average 96 through the last 4 years. He's played the 22 games. He was injured in 2015. Man, this guy can shoot the lights out for a score. He's gone over 130 a number of times. Didn't do it the season just passed, but he did manage to knock out 12 tons from his 22 games. So that's a pretty nice clip.
Yep, good return.
He did have an injury early in the season. He only scored 16. So if we can pick and choose the games we add and subtract, but if you take it out, averages 98. Only had the two other games where he scored under 70. Ball magnet. Played 123 games. 8th season in. He's in his absolute prime. Rumours that the Cats might play Danger forward, so certainly set some possessions up to grab. I don't think Danger's going to... I think there's the chance Danger comes back a little bit.
Very small, but
Well, as I've said, I've tweeted out today, if Dangerfield drops 10 points, it's still his second best dream team season ever.
There you go.
So, and also, Mitch Duncan has a bit of upside in him in terms of goal kicking.
Yep.
He's been a goal scoring midfielder before, had his lowest average ever this year. We know Caddy's out of this midfield. Maybe there's a chance for him to play when he's not on the ball, to play half forward and kick a couple goals. And there was rumours he was playing. He was carrying an injury all last year as well.
And you don't think Scott Selwood, who's burning up the track, is going to take points off him?
Yes, Dacevin.
It's a good point, that one. I think Duncan has got huge potential. The drama is actually where he fits in the setup. When he's got a decent run of being a predominant midfielder, he has averaged well over 100. When he's getting the 30% into the midfield is when his scores are more averaging the 85 to 90. And that's the problem with him. Once we know what the club's actually doing with him, we get a better understanding. He's really probably an M4, but he's got the potential to be an M2.
Well, in that 31, that's an M4. And I love the upside. I love it. I think Mitch Duncan will go underdrafted. I'll put it that way. And they certainly could use some speed in the midfield.
And I'm curious about your pick of Michael Barlow at number 18. We've heard reports that he's going to be that tagging half forward again at the Gold Coast Suns midfield.
Yeah, look, we've been all over Michael Barlow in the preseason. I think he shaped as a guy who I thought could finish as a top five player in AFL fantasy. But yeah, the mooted role as a tagger, as a high half forward from Rocket, can't inspire confidence.
No, it cannot.
Look, the thing is, even if he is tagging, we've seen him post some massive 140-plus scores even when he's tagging.
Mm.
It's just going to create a bit more of a boom-bust situation if he is. You're not going to get 100 every week. You're going to get some 120s, 130s, but you're going to mix in some 80s as well. I don't quite believe that they're going to use him as a tagger, personally. I want to see that first. I think Rocket's playing a little bit... preseason.
I still would like to see him playing forward, getting those crumbs off 2 meter Peter and Handsome Tom, though. Kind of 20 or 30 snags for the year would be great.
Yeah, look, he's a player who may shift in his rankings over the preseason, but I really like Michael Barlow, especially for your dream team formats. But yeah, he could go up, he could go down, but I'm really still locking him in as an M2.
Yep. And if you are enjoying the show, you can check us out. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Please do leave a review and hit the subscribe buttons. All the downloads help. If you do leave a review, we're more than happy to read it out on air.
People can do it. It takes a couple minutes to do. Just leaving your review, subscribing, it really helps the show out. Look, people have been fantastic to us, Jono. We've got some amazing listeners.
Yep.
I've seen them. I've seen other analysts getting bagged out over the preseason for little things like having Rockliffe over Dangerfield. We don't really cop that because our listeners are fantastic. They've helped us out by leaving a bunch of reviews over this preseason. Oh, but anyway, Jono.
Supercoach rankings.
Supercoach rankings.
Yes.
People want to know.
People do want to know, and I've got the info for them right here. Starting from the Supercoach ranks, number one, no question about that, is Mr. Patrick Dangerfield. Number two, Scott Dependlebury. Three, Tom Rockliffe. Four, Nat Fyfe. Five, Luke Parker. Six, Adam Treloar. Seven, Joel Selwood. Eight, Tom Mitchell. Nine, Marcus Bontempelli. 10, Dan Hahn. Coming in at number 11 for me, JPK, Josh Kennedy. 12, Lachie Neale. 13, Zach Merritt. 14, Robbie Gray. 15, Rory Sloan. 16, Matt Prittis. 17, Gary Ablett. 18, Patrick Cripps. 19, Callan Ward. 20, Jack Stephen. 21, Dane Zorko. 22, Steve Coniglio. 23, Dane Beams. 24, Ollie Wines. 25, Dusty Martin. 26, Steele Sidebottom. 27, Sam Mitchell. 28, Michael Barlow. 29, Dion Prestiath. And number 30 is Jack Viney. Coming into the last 10, we got Jordan Lewis at 31, Trent Cotchin 32, Matt Crouch 33, Dyson Heppel, found it really hard to rank him at 34, his teammate Brendan Goddard at 35, Luke Shuey at 36, Captain Vanilla himself, Bryce Gibbs at 37.
Why do people hate Bryce Gibbs?
I don't know, but his scores are awesome. 38, Tom Liberatore. 39, Dylan Scheel, and number 40, Andrew Gaff, which I felt very sick when ranking
him.
Not
a Supercoach stud.
Not stud, but look, a lot of unlucky ones there to miss out. I've got Pierce Handley there at 41. He can be pretty much anything this year. Also, Seb Ross had a great year last year. Could be anything. Probably will go up, but just hard to rank him. Ed Curno, only done it for 1 year. Tom Scully, again, had a great year. And Nathan Jones as well. Boys.
Why do you hate Luke Shuey?
Again, it's a 1 year. I know he had a great end to the year. That can certainly change. I want to see it in the JLT. I think with Sam Mitchell there as well helps him. But again, I just want to see what happens there.
Luke Shuey's a gun.
He's done it once.
Slow burn.
Very slow burn.
And why do you hate Dustin Martin? 25. Come on. Come on.
But look at the quality in front of him.
Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
Gary Ablett's in front of him.
Yep.
Crazy, Jono.
How is it crazy? You've had the best scoring Supercoach blow for the last 5 or 6 years.
And in the last 5 years, how many years has he missed? He's playing forward, Jono. They've already said it.
Oh, I don't believe Crazy Rocket Eid. He's in the guts.
You've got Dane Beams in front of him, who's barely played. Dane Zorko, who's only done it once.
Zorko, I'm happy to concede on.
Callum Ward. I know he's good history.
He's just super solid and consistent, and we know he's going to knock out that one massive score that's going to get you over the line.
Didn't do it this year.
No, he did not. But
See, Dustin Martin, the thing is, he never misses.
I know he never misses, but I've just got my doubts about him this year. Just like I see him coming back into that 102 average where just throw a blanket over any player, really, in that zone.
Well, I think you wanted to talk about Bryce Gibbs, the man bun himself.
The vanilla bun, man bun himself. Look, no one likes Bryce Gibbs. It's an unsexy pick. It's a vanilla pick. But guess what? You're going to get him at a great draft value. I've got him down there, 35? Get him down there 35 is your M4. He's going to return great scores for you. He scored 2,300 points last year at an average of 106. Hardly misses. He missed that 1 year with that injury, but hardly misses. Scores well. He's great draft value for you. He's not going to get tagged because that's going to go to Paddy Cripps, even though you can't tag him. Gets the balls inside 50. His clearances are pretty good. They're only second behind Cripps. And his goal kicking's not too bad either.
Yeah, I think I'd have him over Jordan Lewis, probably Dion Prestia, maybe Jack Viney.
Jack Viney can go either way as well. But when it's coming down to your M4s, they're sort of your same sort of area. It could be a hit and miss pick.
Yeah, I understand that. Come on, Statesman, you got to rip him on some of these.
Well, it's fair to say I wish I had more knowledge on the game and how they score. Then I could make it easier to rip on him.
I'll give you one hint about it. If you're not on the park, your points aren't very high.
Yes, and that's a valid point. And why is Gary Ablett so high when he's only played 22 games in the last 2 years?
Well, the same can be said about Dane Beams as well.
Yeah, and you've got them both above Dustin Martin.
I agree.
I just think Dustin Martin come back to the pack.
How many games has Dustin Martin played in the last 2 years?
Probably every game, but one or two.
I think he's missed like seven games in his career.
Something like he played 44 out of the possible 44 games.
Yeah, but look at his career. He's like eight seasons and missed seven games or something like that.
But the same thing happened with Gary Ablett, and look what happened to him. Injuries. I know he's still pretty young, Dusty, but can come back to the pack any time.
That started to happen to Gary Ablett when he hit 35.
I still don't think he's 35 yet, mate.
Well, he's been ravaged.
Ravaged. Must be the new nut that makes him look older.
Well, how about one of my favourite players this season, Jono? He's going to be hard to take early, but I think he deserves to be taken early, and that's Steve Coniglio.
Yeah, very. I love Steve Coniglio. He's one of my favourite players. So I've had a breakout year last year, averaging 106 or 105. It has been hinted that he's going to play that tagging role again. But looking back, he only tagged... It's a very loose tagging role, so he still gets his own ball. It's... Do you remember when Matthew Boyd was a tagger all those years ago? He'd still find his own pill and score you a great game. He's great. He's big on the tackles. He's inside mid, gets the clearances. He's gone past, in my opinion, Dylan Scheel as that second inside midfielder behind Callum Ward. There's something about Dylan Scheel that's... He's just gone right off the cliff for
it's
me.
Game time. It's yeah. game time. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a hard nut. He's got a great hairdo. I don't think he's going to average more than Callum Ward, but it's going to be pretty on par with him this year.
I like him. He never comes off the ground.
No. I would like to see him go forward and kick more goals. That's probably the only thing.
Not a great kick.
No.
No. Anyway, we're both pretty high on him. And what about one of your favourites, the future Brownlow medalist?
Probably for the next 4 years, he'll be the next Brownlow medalist.
I think he's low. I'm going to be honest. I think he's low.
What, do you think he's a top 5 or 6 pick for Supercoach?
I think I'd slide him into the top 10.
He isn't in the top 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at...
You're looking at the wrong one.
List.
Yeah. Marcus...
Why isn't he in the top 10? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, look. Marcus Bontempelli is great. With the players returning from suspension, those Essendon players, we've had one of them, Stuart Cramery. He's going to slot in that forward line. Jakey Stringer's going to be there. Travis Cloak, allegedly. Bontempelli, eh?
Enjoy that, buddy.
Bontempelli is not playing forward this year. He's going to be playing midfield, and if he does have to go forward, it's just to have a rest. He's got his time on ground up to 84%. That's pretty good for a 21-year-old, in my opinion. So if, who knows with Luke Brevich, that could stay the same. It could drop a percent or two, but that's not going to worry too much. Look, people are going on about he's the third man up. That was only a small percentage of his score. It was like 200 points, Supercoach points from last year. If he's playing predominantly midfield, he's going to get that in tackles, clearances.
I think one of the Jock Reynolds team actually tweeted out the other day that that accounted for 3 points in his average.
Was it 3 points in his average? Okay.
So that's...
It's nothing. Minimal. Yeah, it's very minimal. He's going to play predominantly mid. He's going to make up for those points in tackles, clearances, free kicks. So... And he'll go even higher. So average of 107 last year. Look to go to 110, 112.
Love it.
Statesman, your thoughts on your Keeper League picks?
Yes, Keeper League. And as I explained before when we were doing this one, it is AFL Fantasy Scoring System. For the Keeper League, we pretend that we're starting a Keeper League from scratch. So these are just the midfielders, 1 to 40, as we've been going through before. It is based on a data system. First and foremost is age. Of course, if you're going to get a 100-point player, you'd rather have a 23-year-old than a 29-year-old in Keeper League because he's someone that you're going to have close to a decade rather than 1, 2, or 3 years. So the older you get, the more points get taken off your end rating. Then work through the last 2 year averages, how many games you've played in the last 2 years. For those younger players, there is a peak point system. So if you're averaging around the 90, but you've got the potential to be a 100-point scorer, you get the plus 5 points to get to your peak. And then the most important thing and the thing that I value the highest is points per 100 minutes. We use an example. The best person points per minute, boys, you would think would be?
Lucky Neil.
Tom Rockliffe, of course, the biggest scorer in the past 4 or 5 years. Tom Rockliffe's points per 100 minutes is 124. When you look at Steve Coniglio, seeing you were just talking about him before, his points per 100 minutes is 97. So that's the difference between the top ranking, etc. So going through the top 40, starting at number one, Lachie Neale. Number two, Tom Mitchell. Number three, Paddy Dangerfield. Four, Zach Merritt. Five, Adam Treloar. Six, Tom Rockliffe. Obviously, age and games go against Tom Rockliffe. Number seven, Dan Hannabry. Number eight, Dustin Martin. Would you believe? Well ahead of Gary Ablett there, John. Number nine, Luke Parker. Number 10, Jack Stevens. Number 11, Marcus Bontempelli. Number 12, Ollie Wines. 13, Scott Pendlebury. 14, JPK. 15, Dyson Heppel. 16, Patrick Cripps. 17, Steve Coniglio. 18, Lockie Hunter. 19, Dylan Shill, 20, Nat Fife, 21, Rory Sloan, 22, Steele Sidebottom, 23, Andrew Gaff, 24, Luke Shuey, 25, Jack Viney, 26, Joel Selwood, 27, Matt Crouch, 28, Jordan Lewis, the first 30-plus-year-old, 29, Dane Zorko, 30, Callan Ward, 31, Dion Prestia, 32, Michael Barlow, 33, Josh Kelly, 34, Brad Crouch, 35, Mitch Duncan, 36, Matt Prittis, 37, Brennan Goddard, 38, Seb Ross, 39, Nathan Jones, and 40, Bryce Gibbs. Those that missed out, Aaron Hall, Robbie Gray, Ed Curno, Jago O'Meara, Dane Beam, Sam Mitchell, David Zararakis, Mark Murphy, David Swallow, and Gary Ablett didn't make the list. Gentlemen.
Yeah, man, I really want to hear about Matt Crouch.
Me too.
You've got him at 27. I think I would take him in front. I'm just super high on him this year. Super high. Tweeted out a bunch of stats about him this year. The best of the top 40 ball winners, he had the lowest time on ground by a mile.
His brother, Brad Crouch, is just disintegrating. So.
He's played more games and he's younger.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yes. So I've got Matt seven positions ahead of Brad, and I agree with you and very enthusiastic. And he's got a peak, I'm suggesting, up to 100. I think that's very conservative. I actually think he'll go quite higher. Now, the point I want to make about Crouch is his points per minute. Now, he's rated at 104 per 100 minutes, and that is quite high. So that is comparable to Michael Barlow, Ollie Wines, Jack Stevens, and Luke Parker. So when you say Luke Parker averaged 109.9 last year, he's averaging over those two-year period the same points per minute than Matt Crouch. Obviously, Matt's points per or time, minutes per game is quite reduced because he's young and still coming through and finding a place in the team. But he is that true breakout player that's going to go from that sort of mid-range M2, M3, possibly M4 in some drafts to, in a keeper situation, start getting up to that elite M2 very, very quickly.
Ah, love it. I know Steve loves this guy. It's his boy. But Paddy Cripps, love him. Do you think his preseason injury is going to hamper him or help him?
Hamper him, but in the long run, it's going to be a very good
long
player.
Term. Just so he doesn't have to carry the midfield for this year.
For a keeper league, it's actually going to be quite helpful because you'll be able to draft him a little bit later to what his value is. We've got to be mindful with Patrick Cripps. At the moment in the AFL fantasy scoring system, his last 2 years averaged 99 and the year before that 86. So he hasn't set the world on fire yet. The one little concern I have him is his points per minute are below that 100. So I want to see that increase, but that I think that's part of his development. He's only 22 this year, so it will improve. I think he's going to be one of those elite super coach players and sub-elite AFL fantasy players.
So you're seeing more of that Rory Sloan for Dream Team where he's just going to have that... probably be a top 5 to 10 midfielder supercoach because of the impact he can have on a game.
Yeah, and he's one that you would, I think, long-term, that you would love being your M2, but you don't want him to be a constant captain in AFL fantasy.
Yep.
The other one to point out is some people think it's odd having Lachie Neale as number one. Now, we'll say those top five are close. And included Tom Mitchell getting a peak bonus. But I think the end of the day, the reason why Lachie Neale gets ahead of the others is actually his points per minute, which is 113. It's second behind Rockcliffe. And, of course, he's still young, 23. I think I've mentioned it in shows before. His 15 average to his 16 average going 101 to 111. Was not in any way impacted on structure. It was just the actual amount of game time he received. His actual points per minute in 2015 were exactly the same as 2016. He just went from 75% game time to 82% game time. And to catch up with the other mids, he'll actually get to the 85 to 87% game time. Once he does that, he's the consistent 115 to 118 scorer. That's why he's right up there.
Yep. Now, do you think the way the game's played these days, we'll see midfielders playing that 87 to 88% time on ground?
Absolutely, because if anything, the rotations are going to reduce. They're not going to increase. And, yep. I mean, that's more the laws of the game rather than what the coaches are doing. So it's having those ones that can sort of rest down forward that'll keep their game time increased. And Lachie Neal's already shown he can be that beautiful little crummer, which I think Zach Merritt will build into, and I think you've seen Tom Mitchell already do. The prime example of that is your Luke Parker types are perfect because they can play 60% game time in the midfield and 25 to 30% game time forward.
Yep. Fair enough.
Well, that's a nice segue. You mentioned Zach Merritt there. Why don't you... Number four, man. I know a lot of people have concerns with all the Essendon players coming back and some of their high picks coming through.
It's points per minute. It just sells him. Not only has he gone and exploded last year, and remember, he was only 20, but he was doing this as a forward. The previous year, he averaged 90 in 2015, and his game time was actually quite low. So his points per minute are at 108. And as a 20-year-old, which he was last year, that's actually still going to increase. You haven't gone to your peak of football ability, if that makes sense. Not only that, he'll also increase his amount of game time. So I see Zach Merritt. Yes, his role isn't going to be as much midfield, and I see a little correction in his score for 2017, but it's not going to be a huge amount because he is a points per minute beast. And anyone that gets over that 100, you want in your team.
Fair enough. Your thoughts on Ollie Wines?
Yeah, and again, this is another player that's been hampered with the minutes played. Ollie Wines is another 104 points per minute average, the same as Luke Parker, Jack Stevens, and Michael Barlow. He's gone from 92 average to 100, and I can see him going to the 105 to 108 with, again, the increase of midfield time and his natural development. I rate Ollie Wines very, very highly. His issue has been, at the start of his career, his actual tank, and he's been slowly building that up. Building the tank gives you greater time on ground. And it's the same with Dustin Martin. As he developed his tank, he was be able to spend more time in the midfield and his points increased that way.
Yeah, I don't know how he ever ran around with those tree trunk bloody legs.
Quadzilla.
Yeah, what a monster. Man, there's a couple of players I wanted to ask about Statesman because I quite like them going forward. There's smoky picks even this year, but maybe over the next couple, 3 years. And that's Connor Blakely from Fremantle, yeah. And Clayton Oliver from Melbourne. We often talk, we've seen the champion data rankings, which are obviously fantastic, but they have Melbourne in midfield down low, missing the, I guess, polish or the elite.
X factor, whatever you want.
Can this guy be the elite factor? He certainly has all the tricks by the looks of it.
Well, firstly, let's talk about Clayton Oliver. He's another Ollie Wines. He's another one that's going to take a few years to build that elite tank. His game time is going to be affected over the next 2 or 3 years. He'll do that little step where he's getting a 75, then 78, then 81% game time. But we've already found that he can find the football. So I think he's going to be quite a good player and quite a good scorer. A great pickup in keeper league, no doubt. Obviously, you're talking quite down the list, but long term, if you've got an established keeper league and you're going through your draft and he's sitting there as a free agent, you should be picking him up very, very early. Worthwhile. Connor Blakely, damn exciting when it talks points per minute. And I will say he's never going to be a super coach star. He turns over the footy a bit, so he's more of an AFL fantasy player. But when he gets a run in the guts, he motors when it talks to points scoring. So he's another potential superstar. When's he going to start getting really quality time in the midfield? That's going to be a good question. I dare say Fremantle should be starting to use him now. Got a bit of time last year, but I think that should start to expand.
Very exciting.
Well, that wraps up the rankings for this week. But moving on to the questions now, Steve. If you'd like to leave us a question, you can do that by jumping on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, search in The Draft Doctors in the search engine there, or drop us an email where we are thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. And to kick it off today is from @bangers_mash85. And he writes in, thoughts on how the Gold Coast mids light up. Few changes make them interesting.
Yeah, I've written down, I always believe you obviously need five mids, so three in the guts and one each on either wing. So I've listed in order who I would have in there. I'm not saying that's the way the Rocket's going to go. And then the next five, because there needs to be between the 8 and 10 that rotate through. So I put number one, Barlow. He should be the first player in the midfield. Number two, Ablett. Number three, Hall. If you remember, I put Hall as a Burman because I'm not convinced they're going to do it, because Rocket seems to have him on the outer, even dropped him last year when he was one of the few mids left. Swallow and Hanley. So they're my starting five if I was to start a game. Then I have rotating through Miller, Lyons, Lonigan, who I reckon is the real tagger, Rosa and KK.
You don't see Jack Martin rotating through a wing or anything at all there?
I think Martin's really shown that he could be something special as a halfback flanker, that really creative halfback that's starting the attacks. I think he's found a position there, and I think that was good work by Rocket by giving him the opportunity.
Oh, so it's interesting, Braden Fiorini boasting an average of 110 didn't fit into the Statesman's plans.
To be fair, he's only played two games.
And next question is from @Mezzaculo. Sounds like an Italian sports car of some sort. And he says, did you guys get your doctorates from the same place as Dr. Dream Team? No, I don't know about Steve, but I got mine from the Cornflakes box.
I went to homeschooling TAFE. It was only a short course, so 6 weeks.
Couldn't do it online?
Well, you could, but I want the in-person experience.
Man, could you imagine if that was an actual class studying fantasy and you get a degree?
In America.
Really?
Well, maybe. They have classes for everything.
So good.
And I've only got my master's, but is a question.
I'm pretty sure this guy's a med student, isn't he?
He's everything. Media star, everything.
Sorry, did we ever find out who Dr. Dream Team was?
No, I don't believe so.
Next question.
Next question is from @BeardedClamsFC. Thoughts on Mavuela this year? I like Mavuela. I don't know why. I just like him. I'm always in the hope he'll break out.
Cool name, Jono. That's why.
That's probably what it is, the cool name factor.
I love Top Gun.
I do love Top Gun.
There you go.
Steel side bottom. Ace Cordy. For just some reason, he just hasn't been able to break out and be that scorer we want him to be. But still love watching him play football. He's built like a keg on legs, isn't he?
I think there's a we got this question today, actually answered. I think there's a chance, but
it's very slim.
I'm not sure. I don't think he's going above 90, but he could get to mid 80s possibly.
That'd be pretty handy as an F5.
You drafted him late.
Yep.
Now Bearded Clams did ask me a question regarding Mavuela, and he said, does he go Cameron or does he go Weller? And I told him he should be going Weller because Weller's got more mid forward opportunities, where Cameron's, you know, can win a Coleman medal scoring 66 Dream Team points a game.
Cameron even inserted into any fantasy format? He might be one plug and play against Brisbane, but that's about it.
Yeah,
but you would agree with that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good.
Our next question is Jeff from Facebook. Thoughts on Lucky Hunter this year? Can score, but a lot of competition in that side and guys coming back. Steve?
Well, we talked a fair bit about Lucky Hunter earlier. Yes, he could go massively. I'm just a bit scared about the Western Bulldogs
lineup,
how it looks. But I mean, he could be a top 15 averager at the end of the year.
Well, he was top 20, so it was only a few points off Dan Hand and JPK actually for Dream Team.
Well, he could
Points per minute 102.
Lock it in.
Tick
then.
Tick tick.
Well, I said he could.
Our next question is, we couldn't find the name on it.
Yeah, this got us like super early last week. Like, I think we just finished recording the last show and it came through.
Okay. So someone in who's only ever played Supercoach wanted to know what's the difference between the Dream Team and Supercoach scoring.
They're both rubbish. Look, Dream Team.
No.
Dream Team's all volume. Supercoach.
Impact. And our last question is from Michael via Facebook. Your favourite TV show, guys? His is Game of Thrones. What's yours, Steve?
Never seen Game of Thrones.
I'd be up your alley. There's nudity and violence.
What, stereotyping me as some kind of moron?
Yeah?
Yeah. Mine is South Park by South Park. The length of the Flemington Strait.
What's your favourite statesman?
I put a list of five. Seinfeld, Blackadder, Breaking Bad, South Park and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He's power ranked his TV shows. Love it.
I guess
simply no sci-fi, so that rules out Game of Thrones.
It's not sci-fi though; it's fantasy. Big difference.
Fantasy.
It's
fantasy.
No sci-fi or fantasy, but I can't say no fantasy because look what podcast we're doing.
What was the power rankings again? Just run through them again for me.
Seinfeld.
That's fair.
Blackadder.
Love the Seinfeld.
Breaking Bad. Yeah, great show.
Breaking Bad. South Park and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine's a good show.
Solid. I only seen one episode of Breaking Bad. It was crap.
Yeah, you gave up too early.
Crap.
It's
a grower.
Something that needs to build in. The first time I saw it, I will say it took me 7 years from the pilot for me to watch the first show. So it's not as if I fell for it straight away. But I actually watched one where they were halfway through series one. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I wanted to go back to see the start of it. How did it build up? And that's where I followed through.
I think Seinfeld would probably be top five.
Season Seinfeld's three and five. Four got really, really good.
Yeah. My favorite show would have to be The Wire, then Oz. Two great
like
shows.
Oz. I used to watch that when I was like
great show.
20.
Yeah, back in the early 90s it came out. But
J.K. Simmons in that?
Yes, he was.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Plays a,
So I don't even know what shows you're talking about.
The Wire is set about 95. It's a great cop drama set in Baltimore where you see the coppers and the drug dealers basically trying to outdo each other. Went for five seasons. HBO, great show. And Oz is set in Oswald Penitentiary and you have like the Aryans, Latinos... and all the different groups and how they interact. It's a great show.
I'm excited because Twin Peaks is coming back. That was one of my favourite shows. Only a couple of seasons, no. But look at the statesman. He has no idea.
Got to say,
you know what? This is the difference. Because with Twin Peaks...
That has the most awful soundtrack in history.
Because with Twin Peaks, it's more like Supercoach. You've got to use your imagination a little bit. Statesman's all raw data.
Just get what you get there with Breaking Bad. Just
what's the deal with Supercoach?
Yes, exactly right.
All right. Yeah. So we are done for this week. Next week, we're going to do a review of our Supercoach mock draft, which we did last week. Thank you to everyone who participated in that.
And watched the Periscope.
Jesus
Christ.
Steve Rick.
Don't draft in Periscope.
Yeah, so you'll get Dustin Martin instead of trying to pinch Tom Lynch off me.
Yeah, that did happen.
Even though my computer did stuff up, and we'll talk about this next week.
People love my team online.
I saw that.
Great reaction. It was a bit vanilla, but anyway.
Oh, a lot of the teams look pretty good on paper, having a look at it. But if you do want to comment on the show, you can do that by checking us out on social media, where we are on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors, or on Facebook. You can check us out there, search The Draft Doctors, or drop us an email to thedraftdoctors mockdraft@gmail.com. And we're talking all things mock draft next week, so catch you then.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.